Glory to God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. Welcome to the second episode of Understanding Well. I didn't call it understanding. The importance of speaking in tongues. All right, that is Holy Spirit by Martin Piquet. Played it yesterday. Forgot to mention. Beautiful song, beautiful song. I believe you love it. All right, good song. All right, Holy Spirit by Martin Piquet. All right, so yesterday we looked at Ephesians chapter 6. We stayed actually in Ephesians chapter 6, but quite beautiful. So please, in case you missed yesterday's episode, get back to it. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he encourages us to put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So in this battle we're in, all right, you've got to learn to be strong, not in your strength, not in yourself, but in the ability and the capacity of God. So it lists the entire armor, you know, the helmet, the shield, the breastplate, the sword. But the 18th verse now switches into saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we talked about praying always, all right? With all prayer, supplication, that there are different types of prayer. But Paul says these prayers can be prayed in the Spirit. These prayers can be prayed by the Holy Ghost. These prayers can be prayed in tongues. So you learn to pray in tongues. So as a believer, you need to give it room, all right? You need to give time to praying always. I'm praying always in tongues. Pray always in tongues. And Paul says, be vigilant, watching thereunto. Be vigilant. So you have to watch, you have to pray. You have to pray sensitive. You have to pray, checking for signals. Pray, checking for direction. Pray, you know, and you keep checking, because most times we jump into prayer and you say, oh, I have this thing I want to talk to God about. You know, so, but prayer is not all about talking about needs, you know, asking for things. You do that in the place of prayer, but it's not all about that. Like I said yesterday, if prayer is all about asking for something, then what would Adam and Eve be praying about? Because they didn't need anything. They didn't have any devil to bind, right? I'm referring to while they were in the garden, all right? No devil to bind, no request to make. Everything was fine, all right? And if prayer is all about needs also, what would happen when all your own needs are met? Would you still talk to God? So those are important things to, you know, consider. Prayer is fellowship. In that place of fellowship, then you talk to him, all right? Then you make a request known, all right? You fellowship, you worship, you do all of that, you know, with God. So it's important, all right? It's important, it's important, it's important. So please, Ephesians 6, you know, 10 down to 18. Very, very, very important. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So please, as a believer, learn to give enough time, enough room, all right, to praying in tongues. You could do it, you know, in a spot. You could do it, praise God, while doing very many things. So Paul, you know, says that, and that's by way of introduction. So in Mark chapter 16, Jesus is speaking in Mark 16 and the 15th verse. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Now, Jesus here, yes, was talking to the apostles and the disciples, the people immediately in front of him. All right, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told them, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be damned. But he now told them, these signs will follow those that believe. So at this point, he wasn't talking, all right, he wasn't limiting his speech, okay, to those in front of him. He was saying to those in front of him, you go preach to people. Those that believe are saved. Now, these signs will follow those that believe. So now he's making a more general statement. These signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils, and they would also speak in new tongues. So two ways to read this, all right? Number one, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. You got that, all right? Number two, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. All right? So all I did was to move the comma. Okay? Column. All right? These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. All right? Other way you could read is, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Column. They will cast out devils, speak with new tongues. Did you get that? So all I did was move the column. All right? You know, because both ways are correct. These signs will follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. On the other hand, these signs will follow them that believe in my name, because you went to tell them about me and then they believed in my name. So these are the things that will happen to them. So it says they'll cast out devils. It's quite interesting to realize that the first sign that Jesus mentioned here was a casting out of demons and devils, which really is one of the things that believers, all right, still seem to be afraid of. All right, believers have to learn to believe the word. The word says cast out devils. Listen, the smallest Christian is bigger than the biggest demon. All right, don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't let anybody tell you, all right, trick you and say, you've got to fast like 100 days before you can ever cast out any devil. No, what you need is the understanding of your authority in Christ Jesus. That's all you need. All right, that's all you need. All right, any demon that won't come out when you use the name of Jesus won't likely come out when you fast and pray. Why? Because you likely don't have the understanding that you're supposed to have. Let me tell you this funny story. All right. So some chap, true story. All right. True story. All right. So some, I'll call them friends of mine. You know, well, they told me the story. So some friends of mine, you know, had this case they needed to deal with. All right. So it was a demon possessed case. And then they had got to church with the person and then come out. I'm not coming out. You know, and then the person, you're right, they were trying to get the demon out of spoke, all right? But it was obviously, you know, the demon speaking, right? Demon said to them, see you guys trying to cast me out. Didn't the Bible say this kind coming out, but by prayer and fasting, you're trying to cast me out, you put it not fast. You know, and then they said to themselves, wow, that's true. We didn't fast. So they fixed the date. I think it was 2 or 3 days later. They said, okay, let's go praying and fasting. Then we'll come back again and cast the demon out of the person. So they came back maybe second or third day. And the whole thing started all over again. Come out. And then there was this chap who just got born again like 2 weeks prior to that time. He just came into church at that time, right? And saw the whole drama going on. Come out, I'm not coming out. The guy was furious, walked up there and just said, shut up, come out in the name of Jesus. And the whole thing ended. The demon, you know, left the person. And they were shocked. All right, so moral of the story, all right, it's not how old you are in Christ. It's basically understanding your authority. And that got to them. And like, oh, so, you listen, haven't you realized that sometimes because you've stayed longer in Christ, you've gathered a whole lot of knowledge. Things you need to unlearn. Self, plenty, like so many things. So it's important to stick your mind where the word is, okay? So these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. A lot of Christians will have issues with tongues and then quite some misconceptions. We'll touch them maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after, all right? So Jesus said speak in tongues. So if Jesus said these are one of the signs that will follow the believer, and he said they will speak with new tongues. So I said yesterday that the word tongues there simply means language. Tongues means language. Okay, French is a language. Spanish is a language. Dutch is a language. German is a language. English is a language. These are tongues, all right? They are languages. So when the Bible says you speak with new tongues, it basically means you would have a new language. So why do we need a new language? It's because your human language is restricted. Our human language is limited, all right? Our language is connected straight to our mind. So we think, we speak, we communicate with this earthly lingua. Okay, so now we want to communicate with God, all right? Now there are deep things in the mind of God that our language, all right, is not built, all right, to carry. Okay, so it's like when you look at languages and then look at Greek, then look at English. Greek is seemingly a more expanded language, all right? You look at Latin. Latin seems to be a more expanded language, all right? English seems to be a more limited, all right, language. So you find that in as much as on the earth, some languages are more expanded than some others, all right? Some languages, have a wider base, wider roots, all right? They need to, one word there could be 10 words somewhere else and all of that. So when you want to now talk to God, all right, what your spirit needs to communicate to God, okay, your human language, all right, is not sufficient to help you communicate it. So God gives you his own language. God gives you his own language. He gives you a language with which to communicate with him. Are you getting that now? So we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then I'll show you something. 1 Corinthians 14. So 1 Corinthians 14 and the second verse of 1 Corinthians 14 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue," all right, unknown in it lists, but it just helps to explain, all right, he that speaks in a tongue, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, all right, you speak in tongues, whoever is speaking in tongues, okay, speaks not to men, but to God. Nobody understands him. Of course, here Paul is beginning to talk, not just about you talking to God privately, all right? The whole of 1 Corinthians 14 deals largely with ministering in tongues. By that, I mean you having to have a message for people in tongues, okay? So, but verse 2 could apply both ways, but the whole context of 14 is, you ministering to people in tongues. But anyway, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. I want to pick up on the word mysteries. The word mysteries there, hidden truth, hidden truth, hidden truth, hidden truth, hidden truth, and secret things, secret things, secret things. I repeat, hidden truth, hidden truth, hidden truth, hidden truth, and then also secret things, secret things. Secret things. I'll explain this a lot broader, so you're gonna get it. All right. Hidden truth, secret things. Okay. So when I talk in tongues, I am speaking hidden truth. I'm speaking secret things. So when you pray, so now, how, if you want to pray, for instance, about your job, or you want to pray, for instance, about your home, or you want to pray, for instance, about something. All right. And then how do you pray? God bless my business. God increase my business. God, let your will be done in my business. All right. So once we enter, let your will be done, we just automatically, of course, by faith, believe we have covered the other spectrum of things we don't know about. God, just let your will be done. All things you want to do in my business, do. I give you right away. Right. But when you switch over to talking in tongues, you go deeper than that. You begin to discuss with God the details, the intricate details. All right. The hidden plans, you start digging. All right. Into things that you didn't have an idea of, because it's they're secret things, secret truth, hidden things. All right, we'll go to the 14th verse, but you'd enjoy the 14th verse better when I make reference to the Amplified version. So 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." This here disturbs a lot of people, but under misconceptions, I'll touch it. So when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So people say, "Oh, I'm tired of praying in tongues. When I pray in tongues, I don't even understand what I'm saying." Well, that won't be a revelation. The Bible already said so. The Bible said so here, that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I'll advise that you follow this. All right. 15 now says, "What is it then?" It says, "I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding." Also, please notice the order here. He says he will pray with the spirit. He will pray with the understanding also. For most people would rather spend more time praying with the understanding than the next maybe 2-3 minutes to end it. We now just do a short burst of tongues, all right? But Paul says, "I will," first order, "pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." So Paul, as a priority, puts understanding as also. All right, please, I believe you understand that in sentence construction, the one which seems to come as also is less in priority and in importance, right? So Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, and then I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and then I will sing with the Spirit, and then I'll sing with the understanding also. So you need to switch that also in your private life. You need to switch that. Spend more time praying with the Spirit, all right? A little less time praying with the understanding also. But I would advise, all right, how to pray a lot more in the understanding will be to pray more scriptures, all right, to speak more of God's word back to him, all right? When you have declarations, you speak God's word. Or like I said yesterday, you're praying and then prophecies are rising up within you. Yeah, so all those ones can, you know, fill up that white space, you know, of you praying with the understanding. Now, there are lots of people that don't talk in tongues, and it could go like 6, 8, 10, 12 hours and praying the understanding. And that is amazing. All right, that is super amazing. They intercede for people, pray for families, pray for countries. They do a whole lot of that, and they don't speak in tongues. Imagine if such people could now just get into this and allow the Holy Ghost take things further. Take things further. How? Because Paul says, if I pray in tongues, verse 14 again, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Who is your spirit? Your spirit knows more than what your mind has picked up. Your spirit knows. So because your spirit knows more than what your mind has picked up, it is better to allow the prayer to flow more from your spirit than from your understanding. The Amplified Version says, when I pray in an unknown tongues, my spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit within me, prays. I like that. My spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit within me, prays. When I pray in tongues, my spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit within me, prays. So Amplified now brings two forces together. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit and the Holy Ghost. So before we go to 1 Corinthians 2, because I want us to read 1 Corinthians 2, let's quickly, you know, take a drive to Romans chapter 8. And I'll show you again where these two people get to meet. All right, your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit. So Romans chapter 8, the 26th verse of Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know what to pray about. He says we don't know what we should pray for the way we ought to. And that's what we were explaining. All right, so you want to pray. All right, so I know you can pray. Yes, I know you could pray for hours without praying in tongues. I agree. All right, but you still don't know what to pray for the way you ought to. The Spirit helps you. But can the Spirit help me even without tongues and just guide my English or my other, whatever other language it is? Yes, I agree. All right, that you can have Spirit-inspired prayer, all right, in your known language. I said that yesterday. I agree you can. I agree you can. But you could go further. When you allow the Holy Ghost give you utterance, all right? When you allow him give you words to speak. Because those words now are broader, all right? In spectrum and in impact, okay? Better, far better. And they communicate richer, all right? There's no knowledge barrier, all right, where those words are concerned. It's not, oh, how do I say this word? Oh, Holy Spirit, help me here. He just takes over giving you the words to speak. So Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Verse 27 is a catch point for where I need to touch this morning. It says, for he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now, so 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So two people there, all right? Me and then the Holy Ghost. You and then the Holy Ghost. When I pray in tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So the Holy Ghost helps me to communicate this thing, helps me to say it better. So Romans 8 and 27 paints the picture clear. It says, he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now, the Holy Ghost knows what's inside you, and the Holy Ghost knows exactly what the will of God for your life is. The Holy Ghost knows what's inside you. The Holy Ghost knows what the will of God for your life is. So as you pray in tongues, all right, the Holy Ghost now joins in with you, giving you the exact words to speak, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So in this way, you can never, ever, ever pray amiss. In this way, you can never miss it in the place of prayer, because you're now praying with the help of the Spirit. Okay. So it's like you having a coach, all right, who also works in the examination center. So the person sees the question and then he comes home to, you know, to coach you. So he's not telling you this is what's coming out necessarily. Just, you know, maybe me just trying to stick to the human example. So he's not saying, oh, A, B, C, D are the things coming out. No. All right. But he says, okay, so let's study this topic and then let's get it. All right. Especially this particular sum here. Why? Because he knows it's coming out. And then he's already moving in that direction. He knows what's coming out. He moves you in that direction. He knows what's coming out. He moves you in that direction. You can't miss it. You can't miss it because the person tutoring you also was the one who was there when the questions were being arranged. So he sees your heart. He sees the will of God. So that's why in the place of prayer, right? You pray about something and I would like to encourage you, right? Maybe you're trying to get direction about something. You prayed a week or two, sometimes a day or two. Don't quit. All right. Don't quit and say, well, I think this is just what I'll just go ahead and do. All right. Yeah. There have been cases where while you stepped out to do what you wanted to do, God guided you from there. But there are other times when, you know, he will have you just hold on, get the green light before you take a step. Get the green light. Get the green light. Get the green light. Because there are things deep in the heart of God. Don't forget how we define mysteries. Secret truth, hidden things. Secret truth, hidden things. So you can't keep living life on the surface. There are deep things, all right? Deep things in the mind of God. So if all you do is just pray a little prayer, fellowship, sing to him, read one or two Bible verses, all right, it's fantastic. But take our time, all right? I just want to pray out the mysteries about my life, all right? That might be, some might say, no, I don't think I ever want to do that. Why? I don't want God to ever come one day and tell me he's called me to be a missionary. Let me just live my life this way and not start praying any mystery. Let me stay here and not start, you know, just going to open one Pandora's box. God's purpose for your life is not a Pandora's box. All right. So please get it right. All right. If God will have anything he will have you do, understand that his ways will be far, 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 far better than your own ways. All right. His plans for you will be far, 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 far better than whatever you could come up, you know, with for yourself. So we find two people again, all right? The Holy Ghost and then your spirit. We see them two together functioning in 1 Corinthians 14, the Amplified Bible. We see them functioning together in Romans 8, all right, here, all right, 26, 27. All right, so let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and see these two function together. Again, all right, so we'll pick it quickly now, all right, quickly. So 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 6, however, we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, you know, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. Look at verse 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It brings out that word again, secret truths, hidden things, secret truths, hidden things, secret truth. Hidden things. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. So it is hidden. All right. Wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So I love this. So this is saying that there's a wisdom that God has kept for all of us before the world began. He kept that wisdom. All right. So it's called a mystery. Nobody knows it. All right. Only God can unlock it. Only God can reveal it. All right. So it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, though not crucified the Lord of glory. So in context here, he's talking about the revealed plan of redemption, all right? So, but we could still narrow it down to everyday life, all right? So, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they know it, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor hear, heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. This here is a whoa, 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 whoa kind of verse. All right. Nobody knows, but he's simply saying here, God has a plan for everybody's life. All right. A solid plan. Okay. 10 now says, but God. Oh, so eye hasn't seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered in the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. 10 says, but God has revealed these things to us by his spirit. For his spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The spirit searches all things. All right. Isn't this interesting? So all these things that are hidden, all these mysteries, the secret truth, hidden things, God is in the business of revealing them. In this case, where the redemption is concerned, he says God has revealed them. All right. So if God reveals the redemptive plan, then there's what else would he want to hide from you? All right. But God has revealed these things to us. How? Through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things, those mysteries, the deep things of God. 11 and 12 are very important for us this morning before we close. All right. 11 says, for what man, all right, which man knows the thoughts of a man? Let me switch quickly. All right. Let me use a God's Word translation. So 11 and 12. Okay, so I'm there. All right. It says, after all, 11, who knows everything about a person except the person's own spirit? In the same way, no one knows everything about God except God's Spirit. I think we agree on that, right? Nobody knows anything about a person. Nobody knows anything about a person or his thoughts except that person's spirit, all right? Same way, nobody knows anything about God except God's Spirit. That's 11. So 11 is saying there are things on your mind nobody knows except you, or except your spirit. There are things on God's mind nobody knows except God's Spirit, okay? 12 now says, now we didn't receive the Spirit that belongs to God. We didn't receive the Spirit that belongs to the world. Instead, we received the Spirit which comes from God, that we could know the things that have been freely given to us of God. This is an amazing verse. All right. We have received the Spirit of God. All right. And here, who is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is the one who knows the mind of God. Go back again to Romans 8. Who is the person praying? The one who knows the thoughts of God and the will of God. Who is helping you pray? 1 Corinthians 14:14, the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in tongues, all right, the Holy Ghost comes to help you pray. Who is the Holy Ghost? The person that knows the mind of God. He's the one who knows what is in the script. He's the one who knows the agenda. All right, so I would like to advise you between now, let me encourage you, between now and tomorrow, please give some time to pray in tongues. And you could start by saying, Father, thank you because I know that you have a great plan for my life according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Eyes haven't seen this plan, but thank you because you reveal this plan by your Spirit. So I go ahead now, take out moments and just pray in tongues about this plan. All right. And I just thank you because things have been revealed to me in the name of Jesus. Did you get how I said it? So you could say it that way. Thank you. I pray out your plan and I know things are being revealed to me in the name of Jesus. And take a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, somewhere in between your day, as the day keeps going before you go to bed, as the day keeps going, and even before the broadcast tomorrow. And then I will see you tomorrow. Have a very, 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 very beautiful day. Bye.